You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi, and he's John English, the Germs guy. Hey, John.
Hey, Alan.
How are you?
I'm good.
Sweet. Got Memorial Day weekend upon us and, you know, long weekend. I'd ask how Devin's doing, but it kind of stinks here because he's been working his can off. He's living on bedrock right now.
Really? Really? We're gonna start the show like that. Okay. Okay. That is true. I have been a rocking and a rolling all morning and I have my Memorial Day project. So yes.
Yeah. What's the matter with me starting it off that way? I was going to ask you how you're doing, but I figured, you know.
Well, Alan, I don't like to comment on how you smell usually, but, you know, that's just the way that it goes.
I don't always smell great. I know that. And we're talking about smells at the beginning of the show. I know. It's my fault. I brought it up.
You know what stinks?
What?
Rudy Gobert did not make an All-NBA team this
year. Oh, look at you transition into our first topic of the day. All right. John, let's talk all NBA.
Yep. Yeah, Rudy missed it by, what, 4 votes? 5 votes? I have to believe injuries came into play on the lack of votes he got, just like I would say injury probably affected the amount of votes Chris Paul got. Both of them barely missed it. But at least, you know, he was close, and if he plays 60 games next year, he's in. Because if you look at the Defensive Player of the Year voting, looks like he's a surefire winner, and so how can your surefire winner in that not make third All-NBA team this year as well? I don't know, but it was close. And whoever voted for Dwight Howard needs to have their vote revoked.
Maybe they might need to have their NBA card revoked.
Actually, it's proof that time travel is possible.
Whoa.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. All right, then.
That or someone's ballot maybe just got lost for, what, like 8 years and then suddenly showed up?
Do we need to check that ballot to make sure it doesn't say Orlando Magic on it?
It's probably a hanging chat on it.
Well played. But the one thing that Rudy did get recognition on, all defensive.
Yep, number one vote getter. It seems pretty clear that he's going to win it. You know, he's a finalist, sure, but when you look at how the votes broke down, I think he's got it.
Well, let's look at the All-NBA and how it all kind of shook out. Are you happy with the order of things?
It's fine. I don't have a problem with it.
Because first team what did we have? We had LeBron, AD, KD,
Harden, Lillard,
and Lillard. Yeah,
that's a good group. Lillard, I'm impressed. Lillard,
and that's kind of where I was going.
Very impressed. Lillard got the nod for first team
because you have to realize he beat out Steph.
Yeah,
he beat out Russell Westbrook, yeah. who averaged a triple double again this year, didn't he? Or very close to
just
it,
just shy of it, I think.
No, I thought he got it because he needed 16 rebounds in the last game of the season to get it.
Okay, maybe he did. I don't remember.
So his team let him get every single rebound in a throwaway game.
So, yeah, but again, to your point, Devin, Lillard winning it over those guys, that's impressive.
And I heard that there was kind of a lot of negativity directed towards him online, but I don't think people realize just how good of a talent Dame is. Because they, meaning the Blazers, are kind of like the Jazz. They're out west, so their games are typically late in the night for people watching in the east.
Right.
They're not a big market.
Right.
They don't get a lot, you know, a ton of nationally televised games. And when they do, again, they are usually the late West Coast games.
Yep.
But, I mean, Portland, to me, overachieved this year, and that's due to Dame.
In fact, next to the Jazz and perhaps Houston, Portland might have been one of the top three teams from about January on.
I think a lot of negativity towards him is because Blazers went out in the first round.
Right.
If Blazers go to the second round, I don't think you see near the amount of complaints.
But is that a proper gauge, though? I don't think it is. I don't think it needs to be.
I think it affected it.
No, I'm not disagreeing. I'm just making a case how I don't think that's necessary. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
And you also have to factor in, Blazers went out in the first round against another team that had a first team All-NBA player.
Yep, AD.
So one of them had to go out.
Right.
You know, I don't think you take AD off that list if they go out in the first round, do you? I mean, he was phenomenal this year.
No, but, and that also helps that they were the sixth seed and they didn't have Cousins for half the year.
Exactly.
Okay, so what about second and third teams? Were you good with that? I believe second team we had DeRozan, Depot. I can't even remember.
No, Depot was third team. Second team was Greek Freak, Westbrook, Embiid, DeRozan, and LaMarcus Aldridge.
To me, LaMarcus is kind of a surprise there.
Yes, I am. He had a quiet.
I was surprised he was second. He got two first round votes.
But
I think when you lose Kawhi and the Spurs still finish with as good a record as they did, and Aldridge did have good numbers, I'm actually not surprised.
I mean, the thing was you could almost say it was a quietly good year for him because there wasn't a lot of fanfare with Aldridge this year. He just went about his business and did what he's supposed to do.
Here's what I think it was. I think everyone was distracted, and the story in San Antonio was all Kawhi.
Right.
So even though he had a good year, I think it was just overshadowed by this weird situation that they had with their star player.
Right. In fact, for as quiet a year as I thought he had, and it was still a good year, didn't he have, I mean, his numbers were up this year, weren't they, John? I thought they were.
Yeah, he's 23 points, 8.5 rebounds. Let's see. It's the best year he's had since he joined the Spurs.
Well, there you go.
He's back to like Portland type numbers.
Right.
And it's funny to think that he wanted to be traded out of San Antonio.
Right.
You know, all those struggles and all of a sudden he's right back to where he was. So that's a great storyline for him.
Okay, so what's the third? I want to hear the guys on the third team. I haven't disagreed with the first and second team, not much. Let's go to the third team, though.
Third team was Steph Curry, and I got to believe that injury kept him down there. Oladipo, Karl-Anthony Towns, Jimmy Butler, and Paul George.
Jimmy Butler was, I'm glad, but how long was he injured this year? I'm surprised he got any, I don't know.
He wasn't out that long, was he? I thought he was only out like 3 or 4 weeks.
I don't remember. John, do you remember how long Jimmy Butler was out?
Butler, no. I can look that up real quick.
I'm just curious because I thought he was out a lot longer than the final 2 or 3 weeks, but I could be wrong.
Butler played 59 games.
So again, Rudy Gobert doesn't get a nod for any of them. And Butler, who played 59 games, gets a third team. Anybody else see a problem with this?
Well, Rudy was close. Rudy was very close to getting on the third team.
He
did receive votes.
I get that. I'm just that's what I'm saying about Butler. I'm a little shocked that he got a nod with as little as he played this year.
Yeah, when you figure Anthony Towns is already getting one, and yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's because Minnesota made the playoffs for the first time in 12 years because they got Butler.
Maybe
that could be it.
Who really knows?
So
did we mention how many votes another Jazz player got?
Donovan Mitchell got a couple. I don't have the rest in front of me, but if I remember right, Mitchell got 2 votes, and that was the same amount of votes that Klay Thompson got.
Wow. Wow.
Poor Klay. I mean, to be the best player on the Golden State Warriors and you only get like 2 votes for an All-NBA team.
Wait, I'm confused. Best player in Golden State?
The best player. The most important player.
No.
I would say Golden State's most valuable player.
No. Kevin Durant is their most valuable player.
Let's not go there.
We're going there because without Kevin Durant, Golden State ain't it's just not happening, dude.
John, can we transition?
Without Kevin Durant, they were a 73-win team.
Can we transition to talk about the playoffs?
I still think I still think Kevin Durant's the best player on the Warriors right now. Period.
Okay.
Yeah, I do too.
Okay. See, John agreed. Devin.
Okay. But look, I'm just gonna say this. LeBron's the best player in the league, but he doesn't get MVP every year.
I'm not discounting that.
KD's getting all the attention. Doesn't mean that Clay, Corey, Matthews, Thompson isn't the best player on that team.
All right, moving on. You wanted to transition. Let's transition to the NBA playoffs. Where do you want to start, John?
Let's start in the East. Okay. Boston won game 5. And, you know, I believed before the game that whoever won game 5 was going to win the series. Boston actually pulled it off. The Cavs' support continues to just be completely unreliable. You just don't know what you're going to get. LeBron can be amazing every game.
We're looking at you, George Hill.
He's not getting consistency from the other guys. Yeah.
We're looking at you, George Hill. You have been horrible.
Hill had a nice game in game 4.
Yep.
Game 5, they only score 83 points.
Yep.
What did Hill have? Hill had 7 points and was a minus 21. Got nothing from Thompson, nothing from J.R. Smith. And some of this I put on Ty Lue because Korver only played 18 minutes.
Did you hear the complaint he made?
Yeah. That he was thrown by Boston not playing Semi Ojeleye, and that's who he likes to match Korver against, so he didn't play Korver more. It's like, make an in-game adjustment. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I think it was you that said something about it on Twitter, wasn't it? Because
I said if they lose and LeBron leaves and Ty Lue gets fired, this is partially why.
Well,
that statement right there.
And I can't disagree. It's like, come on, really? You're waiting. See, there lies the problem. You're waiting for the other team to make adjustments, and then you adjust versus their adjustments. Like, why don't you dictate the matchup, for heaven's sakes? Put Kyle Korver in and make them adjust to you. My goodness. So,
yep.
Before this series started, or even after games 1 and 2, are you surprised that this is going the distance? Because I still think it will. I think Cleveland wins in game 6. Are you surprised this goes the distance? Do?
It's a home game, huh? Yeah, Cleveland might win game 6 still anyway.
I mean, you look at game 1, it was a blowout. Game 2, Cleveland was in control, and then Boston took over control late in the game. Game 3, Cleveland pulls it out. Game 4 was just an utter blowout. Or no, game 3 was the blowout. Game 4 was the closer one. Are you surprised that it's kind of teeter-tottered like this?
Not really, because the Cavs were super lucky to get out of the first round. I thought the Pacers put up a really good fight. And who did they even play in the second round?
They had Toronto
and swept Toronto.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I am surprised. Before the series started, I was surprised because they were able to sweep Toronto. But after game 1, it was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And see, now I still believe, even if it goes to 7, I think Boston wins because I just don't have any. I mean, LeBron can put up 40 points.
Right.
And they still lose. So
unless he gets help from George Hill, unless he gets help from guys other than, and I'm going to say this because Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love have been pretty good in this series. Unless he gets help from other wing players and guards, they're not going anywhere because Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson can get rebounds, can play the middle. Until LeBron gets help from the other shooters, the other guys on the floor, they're not going anywhere. And George Hill, forget it. That experiment has been horrific. Again, last year it was Deron Williams. This year it's George Hill. Come on, guys. Really?
Their problem is J.R. Smith is really bad, and they don't have anyone better. I mean,
right.
Jeff Green, Jordan Clarkson, Rodney Hood, Calderon, their guards just can't do it. And they've proven that. And Hood is, I can't remember seeing a player fall off this badly moving to another team. You probably have to go back to like Lance Stevenson to find an example, but
it's
been sad.
Or I'll go to Shandon Anderson after he left the Jazz in 98.
Or Ronnie Brewer.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Guys that just disappear. It's like, come on. So, no, I'm in agreement with you. I still think it goes the distance. I think it goes seven games. But, yeah, unless he gets help from that supporting wing and guard cast, they're not going to win game seven. They're not. Now, if by chance it happens, great. But I don't know. I don't. My faith is not very high on that right now.
Yeah.
All right, to the West Series, Golden State, Houston.
I thought Houston was going to win this series until the last minute of the game when Paul hurt his hamstring. You know, the last two games have been really exciting, and the Rockets, I mean, the Warriors basically panicked at the end of that game. And it was actually similar to how game four went too. Because game four, they kind of panicked. They're throwing up three-pointers.
Right.
Plenty of time in the shot clock, and there's still over a minute to go, and they didn't really have to do that. And it was kind of similar in game five. But, you know, when Paul goes down, it's a psychological blow.
And see,
Houston still gets the win. But
and see, I thought after the game three 40-point blowout, I thought, man, Houston's done. I thought after that game, I said, there's no way. I felt like Golden State was clicking. They're back where they belong. They're going well. And then game four and five, just kind of a weird drop off. And it was like, okay. And it's weird the way Houston's playing them too. It almost seems like they're content to try and take Steph out of it and just let KD beat them. And KD's had a great series, but just KD. Like, you're not getting Green. Yeah. Green has not been good this series.
Yeah, but I mean, what this series has really spelled out is just how valuable Iggy still is to that team.
Agreed.
They, despite everything, they still have a problem of, you know, when you get up to this high in the playoffs, their supporting cast gets exposed and they don't have their death lineup. And so there's always going to be the weakest guy in their lineup,
right,
and that's getting exploited.
Right.
I mean, If they don't have Quinn Cook in the last few minutes of the game, maybe the Warriors still pull off that win. But, you know,
but
they didn't.
I'm just looking at a couple of things here. So I'm looking at the matchup of Green and Capella. Capella, you tell me you've seen numbers more. I'm not looking at the numbers specifically, but I feel like Capella's outplayed Green in this series. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I'd say so.
So that's huge. If your big man's outplaying, you know, former defensive player of the year Green, right? Draymond's not having quite the series you'd expect him to have. If Capella's outplaying him, that's huge. But then there's things that I'm looking at that I'm surprised that Golden State's not exploiting more. I mean, in game three, you saw him. Like, they got switches on Harden all game long, where they got Steph one-on-one with James Harden, right? And that's exactly what you want, because James Harden's not going to guard very well. I wouldn't say not equipped, but he's just not interested enough on the defensive end to keep Steph from getting what he wants. And Steph can get whatever he wants. So I feel like they need to continue to exploit those switches. And then something that I noticed back in the Jazz series, and I saw, I think it was David Locke talk about it, that Capella's not good in transition. He's not. So why don't you exploit that more? Push the ball more while you've got Capella backpedaling, because he's not going to get back, and you're going to get transition bucket after transition bucket. Am I missing something, or is that, or has Houston found a way to get away from that?
It is true with transition, and that's something they've dealt with all year, and they usually have enough other guys who are good at it that it winds up being okay. I mean, he's so good at so many other things that, you know, that kind of negates. But the thing that's been surprising to me that hasn't really come up a lot is Steph Curry's shooting.
Yeah, it's not been good.
His shooting, he's missed some ugly shots.
Yeah.
He was 2 of 8 from three last night. Game four, it was similarly bad.
Game three was his only good game. Game three was really good. But that was the only good one for him. I mean, he scored 17 on 100% shooting.
Oh, no, he had a good game four.
Oh, did he?
Game four.
Okay.
I guess I should look in their losses. Oh, no, they still lost that. He had a good game, and they lost that.
Yeah, that's right. Game three, he had his best game of the series.
I just looked at his 3-point, but he was 10 of 26 overall.
In game four?
Yeah. So he was still 38% overall. He was 6 of 13 from 3, but he was still 10 of 26 overall.
Right.
Can't really do that. That one, their bench really killed them, though. Sean Livingston was minus 15 in 15 minutes.
But see,
Nick Young was minus 14 in 12 minutes.
But see, this is something we've been all talking about for what, 3 years now, that with Golden State, their death lineup, their starting four, you know, are the guys to watch out for, and you can expose their bench. And nobody's ever been really able to do that until you get Houston, who, by the way, is a very deep team, and they're able to expose that bench of Golden State. I mean, how many guys off the bench for Houston? You've got Eric Gordon right off the bench, right off the bat. That's a huge for them. And then you've got, I'm trying to think of who else I'm missing. I'm drawing a blank on this. Holy crap.
Oh, Houston? Well, they've been playing seven deep. The Gerald Green's the seventh one.
Oh, see, and Green's been playing out of his mind in the playoffs.
Yeah, but see, they're not even playing Nene or Joe Johnson or Ryan Anderson or Luke Mbah Moute. Is he still hurt?
I don't know.
Are they just not playing?
Go ahead, Devin. You have something to say. You're looking.
No,
at me.
I just was going to say that their three guard lineup is one of the things that makes them so special. You know, between Harden, Paul, and Eric Gordon, you almost always have two guards who are elite shooters.
Well, let's be fair. All three of them can hit from downtown all that they want.
Right,
all three of them.
But you usually have two of them on the floor.
Right.
And then you've got Trevor Ariza as well. And, you know, when you've got Ariza on one corner and Gordon or Paul on the other, that gives Harden the space to do what he needs to.
Right.
And Chris Paul's just been fantastic. I don't know how you can deny that. I don't know that anyone would.
Right. So, John, with the latest of Chris Paul, you think Houston's going to lose this series?
Yeah. Yeah. I think we had two really close games and Houston managed to pull those off, but they don't pull those off without Chris Paul.
That also, well, I mean, we'll
have to
see.
That's just a huge, huge blow for them.
Well, yeah. And we'll have to see what that injury means, but that means, I mean, Golden State's
going to
have
they've already announced he's missing game six.
Oh, did they? Okay.
Yeah, they did. So he will not play in game six. That's going to be at Golden State. They'll win that one. It'll be game seven. If he's still not back for game seven, I just don't see how Houston pulls it off.
Well, and even if he is back for game seven, that's game seven. That's a big game. Wow.
Yeah.
But even if he comes back, he could be limited. You just don't know what you're going to get. That's
right.
Yeah. Hamstring.
Home court is huge for them. You know, how important is it that if this goes to seven and if Paul is limited, you don't win that at Oracle. You just don't.
Suddenly,
being in Houston, they have a shot. It'll be a good game, even if Paul is out or limited. But, you know.
Suddenly, I'm having nightmarish thoughts of the last series where we lost Rubio to almost a similar type of injury, and he didn't play that series. And you wonder how much that would have changed the landscape of that series. Do the Jazz win it? Probably not, but it still could have been different. So here, Houston's in the same boat, right?
Yep. Yep, but you can't make excuses with injuries.
No, you can't.
You just can't. Look at Boston. Boston's made it work.
Yeah, they have. So, any other thoughts on this series?
I think that's good.
All right, let's move on to Devin's quick hits.
Let's touch on a couple NBA things real quick. ESPN, I believe it was ESPN, as part of the coverage of the conference finals, did a very, very nice spot on Kyle Korver. Did you guys have a chance to see that?
Saw snippets of it about his brother.
Yeah. Yeah. Just one of those things. It just reminded me how much I love Kyle Korver. You know, when he left, I think everyone was a little bit bummed. We were pretty mad at Boozer, so I think that kind of helped take the edge off. But watching him continue on his career, he has been one of the Jazz guys, former Jazz guys, that I have basically always cheered for, with exception of maybe that first year in Chicago. I cheered for him. I didn't cheer for the team, though.
He's continued to shoot the ball extremely well and put together a really nice career after leaving here, too.
He really has, and it's just one of those things. John, I don't know if you had a chance to see it, but Just kind of going through what had happened with his brother passing and how that impacted him and his return to the court. It's a short video, but it's definitely worth checking out.
Did you see it at all, John?
Yeah, I haven't seen the video, but yeah.
So you'll
stuff about his brother.
You'll find it on ESPN. I'm sure they have it on their Facebook site or their former tweets, more recent tweets. Let's jump to something else. Let's see here. There was something I wanted to.
Well, speaking of Kyle Korver, did you see the Instagram post that Carmelo Anthony commented on?
Yep.
I did. let's discuss that. Who are you taking this year? If you could take one guy and put him on the Jazz, who would you have taken?
Kyle Korver.
I couldn't pick Kyle Korver fast enough.
In fact, I was so much faster than John by saying Kyle Korver so fast that we're both that fast at choosing Kyle Korver.
Yeah, I my comment on it was if the Instagram post had said in 2018, then Melo would have had no leg to stand on.
Right.
Yeah, it's I don't know. Before the season, I probably would have said Melo.
Yeah.
Because I was one of those people who believed that if Melo could get out of New York and
right.
get into a system with defense, that he would have the freedom to be that offensive player. But I just don't think I believe that anymore with what happened this year in OKC.
Besides, we just watched him in the international stage take gold, or, you know, to lead the U.S.
Right.
to gold. I mean, he put on a good show in the Olympics, so fair is fair. So I thought this year might be better for him. Nope.
You know, there was an interview with Mike D'Antoni recently, and they asked him why his system was working so well in Houston. Was it that much different from what he was doing in New York? And he didn't name names, but he said it was pretty much the same system he tried to do in New York. But in Houston, when he's running his system, he has all these guys shooting threes and layups. And in New York, he'd try to run his system, but it would be iso ball, dribble, 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 20-foot jump shot. And
gee, that sounds
familiar. He said he just didn't have the right personnel to run his system successfully.
That sounds very, very familiar. Iso, dribble, dribble, 20-foot shot. Hmm. Who could that possibly be?
All right.
That's a mystery.
Let's jump. Alan, you mentioned international basketball.
Yes.
There was a defensive play of the year in some international hoops that I saw. Did you guys see it?
No.
No.
A big man that you may recognize, a 7-foot Frenchman, did this massive swat on what looks to
yes,
be
I did.
A 4 or 5-year-old.
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
yeah,
I did
see that.
And the entire group of kids watching all lost their...
did you like it or did you love it? Or was that just too rude of Rudy to swat that kid badly?
I loved it. And I think it's exactly what needs to happen, because if you're the PR guys with Rudy, you're saying, hey, these kids want to have fun, but you need to do what you do because the kids are going to love it. And you can tell by the video, they all loved it.
Right, right. Okay. I'm trying to find it. There was a situation involving a Milwaukee Bucks rookie. I'm trying to find his name. I want to say it was Sterling. Did you guys hear about that?
No. Oh, yes.
Sterling Brown.
You're talking about Sterling Brown. I have not seen it, but I heard it on the radio yesterday. I'm not sure if I want to see the video because I've heard the video is not good either.
John, what did you see the video or what are your takeaways with this?
Well, my understanding it was a parking violation, if I remember right. He was like double parked or parked in handicap or something.
Double parked in handicap, yes.
You just had more and more cops show up. And one of the quotes I saw was he told one of the cops he plays for the Bucks, and one of them sneered about, "You're a long way from Tampa Bay." It was just ridiculous.
Well, so I was listening to the radio yesterday with Hans and Scotty, and they were talking very at length about this and said they watched the video because there was a video released of it. And it was interesting to hear him talk about it. Scotty says, you know what, if you're Sterling, if you're anybody, just do what the cops ask. And apparently he says, well, I've got stuff in my hands, I need to put it. And as soon as he said that, they all jumped him. And And then it kind of escalated from there. And he says, one of the cops yells out, tase him, tase him. And then it kind of escalated and went crazy from there. And again, I didn't watch it, but Scotty was talking about just how horrific or really not good the video was. And it just wasn't a good situation.
Yeah. I watched it, but I just watched it once very briefly. And I kind of skimmed because I think it was like an 8-minute video. And it just seemed like a lot of chaos happening for a parking violation. Right? And I believe it was like 2 a.m.
Yes.
And
I did see that the cop was suspended for 2 days without pay. And Sterling is looking at a civil suit. So it's like, it sounds like they know that he went too far.
Yeah. I don't know. It's, I mean, nowadays, 2018, I mean, for that matter, it's never excusable. But nowadays, where everything's on a you know, it's on a big stage for everybody to see, you just can't do that.
Right, right.
You can't.
And in this day and age with police body cams and social media, yeah. I'm glad that they have the cameras for their own sake and for the sake of those that they are serving.
Exactly.
You know, because it gives you an actual perspective of what happens so you can try and make a decision on your own.
Right.
So we'll see what happens with the civil suit. But, you know, one of those things where, you know, not even a professional athlete is free from the discussions that have been taking place and right. What's going on.
Agreed.
On a lighter note, did you guys see this week's episode of Game of Zones, Bleacher Report?
Nope.
Have not had a chance yet, but I hear it's rookie heavy.
Oh, my gosh. It is easily the best episode that they have done this season.
You might have to drop that link in the group so I can look at it later.
I will tweet it out again. I tweeted it out yesterday.
I'll go look.
And maybe we can convince the intern to retweet it as well.
All right.
But yeah, watch it. Donovan Mitchell is fantastic.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. A couple other things. The hockey. They're doing the hockey thing. Looks like you've got Washington Capitals facing off against the inaugural Vegas Golden Knights.
Yep.
Expansion team, their first season for the Stanley Cup.
Yep.
Do you care? And if so, who are you cheering for?
No, I don't care. I'm not a hockey fan.
John.
Who are the two teams again?
Washington Capitals and the Vegas Golden Knights.
In their inaugural season.
I don't care.
Well, here's the thing.
I mean, maybe I'll try to care because it's Vegas. I mean, the only hockey team I really care about is the Sharks because I was born in San Jose. That's pretty much it.
Sorry, Devin, your bubble was burst, dude.
See, John, I have been a lifelong Vegas Golden Knights fan.
Oh my gosh.
There you go. Since the beginning. Good for you. You've earned this.
Since their first Stanley Cup appearance, I have been on board. And I don't know how hockey works, but I hope they do it better than the other guys. Okay. I don't know why you're laughing, Alan. I take this very seriously.
Get the puck in the net.
So serious that if I could capture on video the look on your face while this is happening, yeah, really serious.
So serious. Go Knights. So you got... Alan's laughing too much. We have to get serious again.
Oh, boy.
NFL.
Oh, you are going to bring that
up,
aren't
you? I'm going to
bring it
up. Yes,
you are.
We're going to talk about it. These are my quick hits, and I say what we talk about. NFL releases a new policy that players will have the option to stay in the locker room during the anthem, or if they choose to come out, they must stand, or they can be punished by their team, or can be punished by the league.
I don't like it.
You don't like
it? I don't
either.
No, I don't.
Why don't you like it? Alan, I'm going to let you have this one first.
I mean, John agrees with me, but I just, why? Why are we making a spectacle out of this? Why still are we making a spectacle out of this? That's what irritates me. You know what? They have a right to a peaceful protest, so leave them alone. You know, I still go back to what started this with Kaepernick, and I still go back to the video I watched of... and I can't remember who it is, a soldier who who talked about being really mad at Kaepernick at first about things, and then after talking, asked Kaepernick to just peacefully take a knee. So if anybody should take credit for starting it, it's somebody who was in the military. And he and Kaepernick agreed upon something. Kaepernick said, "I respect you." He turned around and told Kaepernick he respects him, and look where it turned to. So I'm sorry. I'm a patriot. I love my country. I do. And I have zero issue if somebody wants to kneel during the national anthem. My goodness, can we get past it and maybe look at the roots of why this is all going on and address the issues rather than worry about the national anthem and the flag?
Right. And what you said, that was not what this started about. This was not a protest of the military. This was not a protest of the flag, anthem.
It still isn't, but unfortunately, getting lost in all of this is the real issues here, and they're making a big hullabaloo out of it, and I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it.
John, I want your thoughts, but also with that, I want to know why this is important, this decision.
Okay, I saw someone else make the comparison that Rosa Parks was not protesting the bus, Gandhi was not protesting food, and the NFL players aren't protesting the flag. They're protesting injustice.
Yes.
And it got conflated and distorted by what they were doing when, you know, Trump tried to make it about, oh, they're protesting our flag, our anthem, our country, and even said after the NFL ruled this that, hey, if you don't want to stand for the national anthem, maybe you shouldn't be in the country, which just blows my mind that the reporter talking to him didn't push him on that, even though it was a Fox News reporter. It's been awful. I think the NFL really, really fumbled this. They felt like they were suffering last year because of the protests. They're going to suffer more even this year because they're just showing it was a free speech test and they failed it. And really, the solution, I think, is you don't have to play the national anthem before every game.
Nope.
And you don't have to have the players on the field if you're going to do that. I mean, just let the players come out after the national anthem, play the national anthem, and then they come out onto the field.
And to your point, John,
if you're trying to avoid the picture of players kneeling, but don't do this.
And to your point, John, taking it out is one thing, because let's not forget that it was a mutual money deal between the NFL and the Department of Defense to even start this just a few years ago. This has not always been a part of the NFL, just so everybody knows that.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't the military paying the NFL to
yes,
do this?
Sir. Yes, yeah, sir.
So this is coming out of your tax dollars.
Yep.
To have this conflict, right?
Yep.
I don't know. To me, you look at this and you compare this to what the NBA does. And to me, what this says is that the NFL sees its players as a product. They see them as what they can provide to them and make them money. They do not see them or respect them as individuals and as people. And that may seem very harsh, but when you think about everything that has happened with the NFL, I don't think I'm terribly off base here. With the concussion treatments and everything else, it has always been about money. And the NBA, for all the problems that they've had with lockouts and issues like that, it is not a contact sport by any means. But I feel like the relationship between the players and the NBA, when you go back to Donald Sterling? Is that his name? The former LA Clippers owner?
Yes.
And how that was handled? I mean, it's night and day difference here with the feelings of players. You know, I think that was partially done because of uproar by the fans, but I think the NBA recognized and Adam Silver recognized that if you have an owner who has this mentality towards his players, that's a problem. And you can tell me I'm wrong and say whatever you want, but I think this is showing that some of these NFL owners are no better than Donald Sterling.
Yep. Agreed.
So I don't know. Does this continue? Does this rule last? Does the anthem go away? Does this turn into a bigger nightmare with people protesting and fines? I'm wondering, you know, who's going to be the first one to say, yeah, okay, let's see what the fine is.
Well, they said all 32 owners agreed to this, but one of the Jets co-owners said that he will pay the fine of any of his players that feels like protesting anyway.
And I believe the 49ers owner said that he abstained from a vote. You know, that's all I have. Let's call it there for quick hits and jump on to whatever else we have.
Before we move on, a couple weeks back, we were talking about coaching changes, and we talked about Becky Hammon. Now, I haven't kept up on this, but I do believe as of this last week, she was originally on the list, at least for one coaching job as possible. Did that ever amount to anything?
No.
I haven't heard anything. No. The only other coaching...
The one I heard about was Pistons, and the rumor I saw today is that the Pistons are circling in on Dwayne Casey.
Okay. I just wondered. I saw the news report hit NBA.com this last week that she was on a list, a short list for coaching, or at least rumored to be on a short list for coaching opportunities, and I thought it was the Pistons, but I couldn't remember. So obviously she's getting attention. We brought this up a couple weeks ago. I applaud this, and I actually can't wait till she gets a job. I'll support it 100%. So
only coaching rumor I had heard, and it does not look like it will happen, but that was Michigan State coach Tom Izzo targeted by the Magic.
Oh, interesting.
So we'll see. I wouldn't hold your breath on that though.
Anyway, I just wanted to revisit that for a moment. Okay. Final topic is our pop culture. John, you saw a movie. You wanted to talk about it.
I saw Deadpool 2. And I would say that if you liked Deadpool 1, you'll like Deadpool 2. I liked Deadpool 1. I thought it was a lot of fun. It felt like another episode in whatever Deadpool is. I thought I loved all the in-jokes and the side glances. And it's one of those where the plot really doesn't matter that much. And normally I'd say that's a bad thing, but this one really wasn't. I thought it was just a lot of fun, a lot of funny cameos.
I've heard a few people say that this was better than the first one.
I mean, maybe some people feel that way. I wouldn't say it was better, but I wouldn't say it's really much worse either. I was just entertained. It was what I would hope I would get from a Deadpool 2 movie. You know, some of the characters that weren't that great in 1 have smaller roles here.
Okay.
New characters show up. There's some surprises. I don't know. I laughed a lot.
Okay.
And that's good news because...
Still not a family film.
I watched Deadpool 1 last weekend and I liked it.
And I've seen it and I liked it too. I just saw it a couple weeks ago as well.
So. I have to ask, you saw the televised version, right?
Yes.
Was it clean?
For the most part. I mean, it was on FX, so they can cut some out and still not have to cut some out. I mean, obviously the language was cleaned up quite a bit, which was hilarious in and of itself when they have to substitute words. I got a kick out of that. But there was still, and there was blurred out nudity.
I just wondered if you and I watched the same movie, Alan, because that seems odd.
I don't know. It was good. I mean, when I finally got to see it, it was good. But yeah, it's the FX version, and so some stuff was cut out, but I don't know how much compared to the actual movie. I don't know.
Okay.
So
let's see Deadpool 2 soon.
Okay. And last but not least, touch on Solo. John, you are going tonight. I am taking my family tonight. Any expectations?
I've just been glancing around at reviews without reading too much of them, and it looks like it's fun. I think it's in a low pressure place. There were so many problems during production that my expectations aren't that high. I didn't like the first couple trailers. I liked the last one, so my expectations aren't that high, and I expect I will still enjoy it and be entertained. That's what I'm hoping for.
Okay. Early indications I've seen, at least from a few grumbling folks, is that it's not selling that many tickets early on, but I don't know if that's the coincidental with Memorial Day weekend or what. I still think it's going to do extremely well, and I think some people are probably hoping it will flop or fall because they didn't like The Last Jedi. I still think some of The Last Jedi hangover is causing some effects for people seeing it.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to having our discussion this next week about it. So any other thoughts to throw into pop culture, or are we just going to brief that up?
No, and
Devin.
I got one.
Devin.
I got one, if that's okay with John.
Yeah.
Last week I talked to you about Evil Genius, right? The documentary on Netflix. So I kept going, and I found another one to watch. Have either of you seen The Keepers?
I have not.
Oh, yeah. I watched the first episode, and my wife watched the whole thing and told me how it ended, so it kind of killed my enthusiasm to watch the rest of it.
Women, right? Oh, if only spouses came with like a spoiler alert option setting you could turn on and off. I watched it. I did not have any spoilers. The docuseries is from 2017. It covers the unsolved murder of Sister Kathy Sesnick, a nun and high school teacher in Baltimore back in the late 60s. And it was very interesting to watch. And as I watched it, I became very angry throughout. If anyone doesn't have the spoilers, or if you have the spoilers and you're still interested, I think it's a very good, very worthwhile watch. And I think it kind of falls in line with the movie Spotlight in some ways. I could be completely wrong on that because I haven't seen Spotlight. So it's brought Spotlight up on my list of things to watch, and I'm hoping to check that one out on Netflix probably this weekend. So.
Yeah, that was a picture of 2016, I believe. Spotlight was really good. It was all about them uncovering the Catholic priest scandal when they just didn't realize just how many kids were getting molested, just how widespread the problem was.
So
I'm behind on my Netflix binging, so you keep adding to my list, and I'm still way behind.
I'm catching up. I'm finding new things left and right. So
All right.
I need
I'm
a
still
social
in the middle
life.
Of Evil Genius.
Yeah, I need to pick that up, continue that. I haven't gotten back to it.
Get to it.
I know.
This is what happens when the jazz go away. I have to use my Netflix account.
Well, I've been doing a lot more writing, okay? Writing poems, writing novels, writing short stories. I've been busy. I'll have to pick up Netflix in my off hours.
Maybe you should write Netflix reviews.
Whoa.
There's an idea.
Hey.
That's all I got.
All right. Thank you all for joining us for another edition of Jedi and Germs. We appreciate you being along every single week for us and supporting us and joining our discussion. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter, Jedi and Germs. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. Again, as always, we ask that you leave us a review on iTunes. Many of you probably use that. It's very easy to leave a review. Please do. We'd appreciate it very much. Thanks for joining us. Hoping to talk to you real soon. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.